Well, hey, this is your day, moms. For all that you do, the sacrifices that nobody sees and putting up with us guys, my wife has said, I believe it's true, there's a special place in heaven for moms and wives having to put up with us husbands and kids. And so anyway, we want to honor every single mother here. Would you stand up? We want to honor you today. All moms, stand up. Come on, moms. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Now, you can slip out when the service is over and get our sandwiches ready. I'm just messing with you. We're making our own sandwiches today. Or going to In-N-Out, one of the two. Well, hey, this morning we've got a special treat. I'm excited. Pastor Ron had told me about a young man in Bakersfield who God has saved miraculously and is just on fire for the Lord and has an amazing testimony that has been helping a lot of people. And so we've invited him over here today, and I'm going to just talk with him. You're going to hear some of his story. And our great hope is, I know that what Jared is hoping, that all of you would be encouraged. He got here early to pray for you and ask that God would encourage you and bless you and give you hope. And so he's excited to be here. I'm excited to be able to talk with him. I know you're going to be blessed. So would you welcome this morning Jared Deathrage. Come on out, Jared.
Hey, how you guys doing? I want to start out.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to start out by saying Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for having me. My beautiful wife, thanks for my five children. I love you. Thank you.
Five kids.
Five kids. Oh, all boys,
you're, you
too.
You have
all
a gray
boys.
Hair on your head?
Yeah. No, I'm doing all right.
It's coming.
Still young. 28, loving it. So it's a good
all
life.
Right.
Beautiful life.
Well, hey, tell it. When I first saw your last name, I thought that was like a stage name or like a, you know, a wrestler, pro wrestler's name or something you changed, but that's your actual real last name. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's my real last name. I mean, I get asked all the time, Jared Deathrage? I say, yeah, that's it. Thank God I'm not a doctor or a teacher or something like that. Huh? That'd be rough. Come in, Dr. Deathrage. There's a story behind it. I don't know how true it is, you guys. As I go into my testimony, you'll kind of see why I don't know how true this is. But they say that my great-grandfather was Pretty Boy Floyd the Outlaw. So we came here from Oklahoma, and they switched it up. And I don't know how they picked Deathrage, but yes, I was born with it, and that's my name. So, interesting.
Well, speaking of your upbringing, you and I grew up kind of on the same side of the tracks. You were in Oildale in Bakersfield. That's a rough part of Bakersfield. If you live in Bakersfield any amount of time, you know it's rough. I grew up right about 34th Street. Rollerama,
yeah, nice
in that area. That was my area. We probably got in trouble all the same places.
Yeah.
But you had a rough childhood.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about it, Jared.
Yeah, so my house was like walking around on eggshells. It was extremely abusive. I come from a rough group of people. I had two fathers. I always tell a story. I had two dads, and any given time you go to my house, it would be chaos. We could be sitting watching TV, and out of nowhere, someone would blow off the handle. And I always tell people, you know, I was mentally abused, sexually abused for 6 years being molested. And that's tough to talk about, but I'm grateful I could bring it out to people and let other people embrace and give them courage and hope that they could talk about it as well. Yeah, and I wrote some notes here because I always remember certain things, and I there's so many stories, and I want to keep it kind of PG for you guys. And I was pepper sprayed at 6 years old. I remember I watched my mom, I'm not going to say any names, but watched my mom in front of me lay lifeless as I was told she was going to die in front of me. The individual told me right in my face, six-year-old boy. And then directly after that, within a week, I say directly, but a week later, telling me that he thought I was doing something to my mother, something sexual, so pepper spraying me. And I mean, it was just a rough upbringing, being bounced around from home to home. And every time I ended up back there, and it was just chaos. I don't know if you've heard a baseball bat snap. To this day, that scares me because that's the sound I remember as this individual was hitting my mother. So you want to talk about a rough childhood. It was intense to say the least. It was extremely hectic, and as I said, walking on eggshells as I went through life. I mean, tough path, man.
So you got through it.
Yeah,
but I would imagine as you got into the teen years, especially the late teen years, you start gravitating towards gangs.
Yes.
And that lifestyle. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as I started to get older, as I said, I had two dads, and when one would go to prison, the other one would be home, and they're both high-ranking members. And around 12 years old, I started really getting involved with gangs. A group of me and my friends, we started our own little gang on the side trying to impress the older guys, and we would run around. I mean, tons of violence. First stabbing at, 12 years old. I've seen people shot. I've seen people die in front of me at a very young age, and it impacted me in so many ways. And as a young kid, I remember thinking, I wanted to get that badge. I wanted to go to prison and have a badge of honor. Yeah, I made it, So that gives you a little bit about my past. To have a family, someone to look up to who, as a child, your idol is going in and out of prison, that's tough. So, of course, I joined the gangs, and I ran it hard. I always tell people I like to be the best in anything I do. So you can imagine by 12 years old, I moved up the ranks. I mean, by 15, I moved up the ranks, and I knew how to sell drugs. So, hey, you know how to sell drugs and you're not afraid of violence, you're a good candidate for that gang life. So, yeah, it was a tough life, man. I was heavily involved, heavily. I led into a lifestyle. I became a biker. Led into the biker lifestyle, and anyone in here who's ever been involved in that, that's a tough lifestyle. I mean, it's nonstop, always looking over your shoulder, and I encourage you guys to go to Christ, man, like I did. But yeah, I was heavily involved in gangs. It's rough.
When I first saw your picture, I said, man, that guy has nice teeth.
Thank you.
Nice white teeth.
You could thank my wife for that. She home makes my toothpaste.
But there's another reason why your teeth are nice. Tell us about that, and tell us about some of the other. You said some other body parts got holes and nicks in them.
Yeah. So my teeth. I just got hooked up with a new set of teeth in the back. I had been stabbed as a young man, and I would say I was 18 years old, and they blew the backside of my teeth out. I've been stabbed 9 times. I've been shot. I have a bullet hole in my leg, one in my butt cheek, and I mean, just that life is not good, man. It's a tough. It's a dead end road, and I'm traveling. I'm telling people, look, you gotta have. Don't be ashamed that you're in, but you gotta get out as quick as you can, because it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and you end up like some of my buddies who weren't so fortunate. Out of 5, there were 6 of us, but 5 really close friends. Everyone has passed. One's doing life in prison, and I'm speaking the word of God, traveling. So, thank you guys.
Did you have any God growing up? Was there any God at all in your life? Or
No one around me really were into anything. I mean, I remember my grandmother was a Catholic, and she would try to get us to go from time to time, as grandmas do. So God bless you, Grandma. Happy Mother's Day. Anyways, not really. So my first real experience with Christ, I was 16. This is going to sound so bad. I was 16 years old. And there was a family that's heavily involved in Valley Bible, and they had a very good-looking daughter. So as a young man, I thought, okay, well, there's only one way to her. So I went to church. Sounds bad, right? Going to church to chase after a woman, but that's what I did. And then this sounds horrible, but when I was 21 years old, I was looking at a heavy prison sentence. And I was, and at that time, I really didn't want to go, so I was going to church on the sides, praying that if the judge knew anyone in our town, as we have this close-knit town, he would know that I was trying to change, but I really wasn't. But let me tell you, the seed was planted at 16, so I always remember that. If any of you are out here and you have relatives, plant that seed. Don't be afraid. Just tell them God loves you. Just say, hey, God has a purpose for you. Even when you're doing bad, I'm grateful for everything that's happened to me. You guys, I am very grateful, because now I get to be a vessel for God to speak through you guys. I prayed this morning. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you, guys. I prayed this morning that he would put me in the seat next to the broken. So as he's using me and speaking, I could nudge you and say, you see, there's hope. If he could change, you can too. So thank you guys for having me. I mean, just never give up hope. Plant the seed and water it.
So tell me what happened. I haven't heard the whole story, but tell me what happened the first time that Pastor Ron prayed for you backstage.
Yeah, so this was a crazy day. I get embarrassed because my wife's here. And I was planning on doing something extremely stupid. My wife had to work that day, so I take my kid, and I have an infant at the time, but she's heavily involved in church. And what I failed to mention is I used to go to church to please my wife. You know, I was that guy that going through the motions because the wife wants you there. I showed up drunk, hungover, the whole nines. But I get there, I'm going to please my wife. I put my kids in. I had a backpack on that day. And in that backpack, now mind you, I was already clean and sober, but I was having a hellacious week. I mean, one of the worst weeks of my life, and in that backpack was 2 painkillers and a line of dope. I told myself, after I drop my kids off and I play church, I'm going to go home, I'm going to snort that dope, take those pills, and no one's ever going to know. I got 16 hours before she shows up, and I've faked the funk the whole beginning of my marriage, so hey, she's not going to know the difference, right? Well, this gentleman comes up to me, and he's in security, which he is my uncle, and he nudges me and says, hey, I got someone I want you to meet. I'm like, all right, give me a minute. I'm talking here, you know, and I'm upset. No, seriously, I got someone who wants to meet you now. Now he's saying he wants you to come back here. All right, let's check it out. So I'm thinking I'm going back here to shake this man's hand. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to shake his hand. I got things to do, right? I got the dope. I'm going to get high. Bad idea. I go back there to shake his hand. Yeah, I hear someone laughing. You know what I'm going through at this moment. So I go back there. I end up, he looks me in the eye, I shake his hand, I say, hey, nice to meet you, man, whatever, you know, I got a role. And he goes, wait, can I pray for you? I see the broken inside of you. I could feel it. I see it in your eyes. You've done bad, and you've hurt people, and you're struggling right now. You're struggling bad, and you know what I'm talking about. And he grabs me by my face, and he starts to pray. And next thing I know, I got this little woman, sweetest lady I've ever met. She's on my ear, holding onto my ear and my cheek, and she's praying. Then I start to feel this overwhelming warmth. I mean, it was the warmest feeling of my life. It almost like I'm in a furnace, and it's getting hotter and hotter. But with that feeling was pure ecstasy, better than any drug high I had ever had in my entire life. I mean, it was something, I mean, second to none. I can't even really explain it. And on my way down, I remember I started to kind of get that weak knee. And there's a man behind me, and he grabs me as I'm going down. I end up not falling, but I'm almost like an out-of-body experience. And it was my uncle. As Pastor says, he nudged him like he knew. He's seen it happen before. Grab him. And that after that prayer, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this Holy Spirit they always speak of, it's the real deal. You know? Thank you, guys. And I wanted to chase that feeling. I even forgot my kids, you guys, because I was crying. I looked like a mess, you know. And at the time, I was bodybuilding, so I'm 240 pounds, crybaby, walking through the sanctuary, you know. But, yeah, I knew that was it. That was the real deal. And I never want to let that feeling go, and I want to spread it as much as I can like wildfire. And I'm not going backwards.
So tell me about your salvation experience. Was that it, or was there a time later where it was more formalized, Jared? And then tell me about just the first couple of weeks, months after you got saved.
Man, you guys are going to like this. It was hell. It was the worst time of my life. I am dead serious. He tore all that bad out of me. And the people I had hated, the people I had done wrong, I had to go back and pray for these people, right? But I knew that as long as I keep going down that direction, He's going to have my back. And I knew he was real at this point. People always ask me, you knew he was real? You knew? Well, yeah. I've never had this high. No drugs ever gave me that feeling. And I didn't even want to use the dope I had. So I wasn't going to do it. And I mean, I remember me and my wife were struggling, to say the least. And that whole first, would you say year? About a year was just, I mean, me and her fighting. I'm praying to God I don't get a divorce because I'm this new radical Christian. She's already a radical Christian. But at the same time, the enemy's trying and trying and trying. He's using lust. That's the bad one, right, men? Lust. Something we all hate to admit, but you know what? He was using it. I remember I was getting naked pictures daily. Women trying to get to me, trying to do this. And I'm telling my wife, hey. And I remember her clearly telling me, why are you trying to brag? Why are you trying to show off? I'm not. I'm reaching out for help. But that was my experience as being torn down and rebuilt, and I'm grateful for that year as well. And now, wow. Remember I said I was struggling, right? I was the lowest guy on the totem pole at a place called MD, Concrete Cutting and Demolition. After I became a Christian, we have this rough year. They rehired me. Mind you, I lost my job. They rehired me. 2 months later, I'm a supervisor. It gets better. 6 months later, I'm the executive vice president. I'm now opening up another shop in my town. So, thank you, guys.
Pastor Ron told me you had an encounter at Sprouts. Tell us about that encounter.
Yeah, so I have five children, and I have this little bitty guy named Gunner, and he is a knucklehead. The enemy was trying so hard not to get us here. He bumps his head. He's a wild man, but he's always asking for milk every day. Milk, Mom, milk it. That's chocolate for you that don't speak baby. And so he's asking for Mogit milk. We get to the store, and I one of us went to the bread, one went to the milk, and vice versa. And I remember I'm standing there, and I'm doing this picture. I'm looking. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I got to get the milk. My wife's health conscious, so it has to be this almond milk, unsweetened vanilla, right? And I look up, and this beautiful woman comes around the corner. She looks good, you know, and I see her look at me. And I remember that look from that first year of being a Christian, right? And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. So I say hi like a dum-dum. Hi, how you doing? She's like, I'm better now. Here we go, man. Oh, no, this is not good. So I approach her, and we have a small talk. And I say, let me tell you something. This ring right here is a bond. In front of Christ, I made a pact to this woman to love her for the rest of my life. That's what I'm going to do. And as I'm talking to her, I start to see her eyes start to kind of water. And I'm telling her, hey, this is the enemy trying to use you to get through to me. It's tough. You know, do you mind if I lay hands on you and pray for you? And better yet, can my wife pray for you? And that's the end of that story. That woman, I think we took her to her knees that day, but that's that seed, right? That's that seed I talk about. You got to plant that seed, and you got to water it, you guys. You have to. You have to water it. I call it ingesting your holy medicine daily. Take your medication.
So, obviously, you're on fire for the Lord, and that's cool. Tell us. To be able to help the people, what does a week look like for you as far as your devotions, your prayer, kind of, you know, what takes place? Tell us what it looks like for you, Jared.
Okay, awesome. This is something I love to talk about. I'm not a talker, as you guys can tell. So, anyways, a week for me, I'll start a day. When I wake up in the morning, a lot of people laugh at this, but I pray in the way God gifted me onto this earth. You know, I pray in my birthday suit, and I tell him, I come to you as you gave me life. I love you. I ask him every single day to give me multiple people to lead to him. That's my goal, right? I take 2 to 3 hours out of my workday, literally for the past 8 months, before anyone even knew. No one knew anything about, well, it's 9 months now. I go and do street ministry. I knock on doors because I knew. Once I got that feeling in me, that feeling that Pastor Ron gave me that day when he prayed for me, that's the Holy Spirit, right? And I have to let each and every person around me feel the same way I felt that day. So a day in my life is hectic because I got five kids and I got a wife who's on my butt. So it's tough, but you always got to go out, always do your duties. And as I told you, it's your holy medication. Every single day, I'm blessed. I have the best mentors in the world. I'm fortunate enough to where I talk to Pastor Ron every day. I now have this amazing man who I tell him, I want a pastor like you. He tells me I'm going to be molded into my own, which thank you, Pastor Doug. But I love how he pastors. He teaches you while getting into it. And that medication, your podcast, your fellowship, your Bible studies, get into ministry, just continue moving forward for Christ. Everything is for him, right, guys? That's why we're all in here. Let me tell you something real quick. I really want to say this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to. You guys are awesome. This Vegas Strong thing, I had it on my cup. Amazing group of individuals, by the way. God bless you guys.
So obviously, when you make a decision, when these folks make a decision to live radical, like we're taught at Valley Bible, yes, the enemy's not going to take that laying down. I mean, no. we already discovered one way he's going to come at us, especially with men. He's going to come at us with women, pornography.
Yes.
He's going to try to get us caught up there. What are some other things, Jared, that you've seen since you've been on fire for 89 months that the enemy tries to get you to cool down and not be as radical?
Yeah, let me say, I've been on fire for 2 years straight, like diehard, 3 years diehard. The past 9 months is what I've done in the street ministry. But every single day he tries with drugs and television. That TV, know what your kids are watching. Know what's going on. If you don't have your parental controls or whatever it's called this day and age on, and you're just letting them have a free-for-all, it's bad. Because the devil's always trying. And men, you heard me say lust. He's going to attack you. There's beautiful women everywhere. And it's ingrained. It's in us. It's hard. As a man, you look, but you got to bounce those eyes, right? I heard Pastor Ron say the same, bounce your eyes. But every day he's using... He'll try job, finances. He'll crumble your friendships. The enemy's going to just keep doing whatever he sees. If there's a weakness that he can expose, he's going to expose it and use it against you. So I love how you say, if when you're on fire, yes, it's, and man, is it hard. I live in a glass house, right? I was getting into the acting, and I was starting to get some cool shows going, and now I'm in training to be a pastor, which I'm grateful for. Thank you, Father. Thank you, these amazing, great pastors that we have. I love these guys. But even more so now, right? He wants to take me down so that we can't talk to you guys. And he wants to take you down. And he's going to try. And he's going to try, whether it be car crashes. Because what happens when you have a family tragedy? You turn to what you know best, right? And that's the booze. That's the pain pills. That's the dope. That's the cocaine, the crystal meth. Whatever it is for you guys, don't go to it. Use somebody. Remember what I said about having mentors and having fellowship? Keep them close, guys, because he's trying. You know how hard it was for me to get here? Hard. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Put on that body armor, guys. Use it. I have a scripture I use, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right? Don't fear. You have it.
Awesome. My brothers were a lot like you. I was pretty crazy, but compared to my brothers and you, I'd probably be mellow. But my brothers were the type, you probably relate, they would walk into a party and everybody say, "Oh no, the Loman boys are here," because there's going to be a fight that broke up.
Oh yeah,
they were fighters and brawlers. And my brother Greg had a testimony very similar to yours. He called me one time and I said, "What do you want?" Because he had ripped me off with different money. "What do you want?" "I want to go to church." "Oh, okay." Went picked him up. He came to Valley Bible. He got saved. He had one pair of pants to his name. Hadn't eaten in 2 days. Was coming off trying to dry out.
Struggling.
Bought him a Whopper. Big Mac. He said, "Live with this." Fast forward 3 or 4 years, married, 4 kids, successful painting business, make $500,000 a year.
Wow.
Doing fantastic. But yeah, what happened, Jared, is he fell back. He let his guard down. He fell back, and eventually it ended up costing him his life.
Yeah. I love how you say that. You can't let your guard down, Pastor.
Guys that have strong testimonies, anybody that chooses to live radical like this, we have to realize what he said in Ephesians 6. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
No.
It's against principalities.
Yes.
It's against powers. There are very real demons that want you to live meek, wild lives.
Yes.
Getting
here. That's why I brought up Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Getting here, I mean, it was a struggle to get here, you guys. Money was taken out of my bank. We got overdrawn. I was like, "What in the heck is going on? I'm starting a new company, right? I'm trying so hard to move forward, and he's trying so hard to set me back." So, yeah, if you let your guard down, even for here, if I would have let my guard down in Sprouts, you think this woman would be sitting here with me today or I'd be up here speaking? No, because the old me, I would have slept with her, and then I would have felt bad. So I would have kept sleeping with women, because when I feel bad, I keep doing dumb stuff. I don't know about you guys, but when you start that train and that train's rolling and the steam's going, I don't just stop. So you can't let your guard down. You got to stay true to your faith. You got to have people around you who are here. And I love that story you tell, because I had a buddy, kind of the same scenario. he got into Christ. And why I don't say the gang I was in or why I don't say what I was doing as a biker is because we all know what can happen, right? They want to come get me. No one want the enemy's going to tell them, hey, guys, hey, there's this guy out here talking about Christ, and he's trying to take your prospects, your hangarounds, your street thugs, your this, your that, the youth. He's trying to stop the youth from going to you. What are you going to do about it? You going to take him out? And I had a friend lose his life trying to come to Christ. Now, I still think to myself, why didn't he come and tell me? Why didn't he stick to me? Why wasn't he there with me? He was trying to do it on his own, and that's what I'm getting into this next part. You can't do it alone, guys. You have to have people. You have to have fellowship. You have to have amazing pastors. I could call this man. He's going to answer, and I'm going to tell him something bad. You think he's going to judge me? No, he's going to tell me how to fight through and get through it. When Pastor Ron, getting choked up. When I called Pastor Ron, I told him that story of Sprouts. You know what he said? That's an A+, son. I don't think I've ever had an A+ in my life. So that's the best report card, right? I got one A+ on my belt. Yes. Nah. But yeah, you guys, don't let your guard down. Don't go at it alone. And I love what you said because it's true. And I'm sorry about your brother, as I have my brother pass too. And it's a tough, tough thing to go through. I mean, it is. It's one of the hardest things I've ever dealt with in my life. So, and then not to mention all my friends just keep going and keep going. And it's tough, man. So I'm trying to lead as many to Christ as I can. I love you guys.
Jared, there's some people here, obviously, just the sheer numbers that are struggling with addiction, whether it's drug addiction, pill addiction, pornography addiction, food addiction, addiction to depression, just have a hard time just doing life. Yeah. What would you say to encourage him?
Reach out. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I thought I was cool, right? I had my son, and I'm like, man, I can't lead this guy down a path that I can. Y'all heard the song, Break Every Chain? I love that song. Well, I'm going to break this chain. Devil had a different idea, didn't he? He kept me on the dope. As I said, I went to church with a backpack with drugs in it. Come on. So if you're struggling with addiction right now, reach out. Tell somebody. Get into a program. Don't be ashamed. That's one thing I hate. People tell you, you're a drug addict. You're crap. You're this. You're nothing. Yeah, tell them, take a look at me. Right? If I could do it, you guys all can do it. Because guess what? The same Holy Spirit that's inside of this man standing here talking to you is inside of all you guys. And he's here to help. So don't do it alone. Don't feel bad. Don't get discouraged. Why? Because we're going to overcome this, right? We're going to get the help we need, and we're going to fight it. And guess what, guys? My DM, my phone, it's always open. I answered 800 text messages 2 days ago. I responded to every single one of them because God gifted me with the second chance. There's no chance at all that I'm not going to help when someone cries out for help and reaches out to me. I'm going to be there for them as you guys need to be. If you have children struggling with these prescription pills, I mean, what's going on, guys? Bath salts. What's that? Spice? Salvia? I mean, really? Really? That's what... Come on, man. But what really gets me is the prescription drugs. Cause it's so easy to get, right? You go to grandma's house, you sneak in the cabinet, whoop, peace out. No one knows, right? And it's easy to hide. I'm going to catch you. I went to school for it now. I went back to college. I'm going to find out what you're doing. But yes, reach out. Tell your, and parents, please, please tell your kids, please check what they're doing. Just tell them, hey, I want you to take a different approach. Instead of getting mad and yelling at them, I found this in your drawer, in your sock drawer, chony drawer, whatever, wherever it was. Instead of getting mad and yelling at them, set them down. Say, I'm here for you. Let's fight this together. I'm your new mentor. Until you get that guy, that sponsor who's going to have your back, I'm here for you. And guess what? He could even call me, and I'm going to be there every day sending him scripture. Because I got a whole book of scriptures I use to fight addiction because it's a daily battle for me. Addiction, He's the devil, right? He's Goliath. Let's be David, guys. Let's fight him. Let's take him down. That's what I think. Sorry, I got excited.
I told you back there, you mentioned, you said something in our conversation about stumbling. I said, wow. I said, that's a trip you said that. I woke up last night, and I had that verse. I didn't know what it was. I had to look up the book and chapter today, but I had that thing like we stumble in many ways. I said, that's interesting. So I looked it up, and it's James chapter 3, verse 2. I did the research on the Greek. That word stumbling there means to trip. We all can relate with tripping. But then there in Jude, it uses again, it says that now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. That's a different Greek word. That means fall.
Yep.
So we get tripped up, Jared, don't we? Even when we're on fire like you are, even when I've walked the Lord too many years to
remember
now.
Someone cuts me off in traffic, there's a trip up.
We trip. Yep. How do you handle when you trip up? What do you do? How do you combat the devil condemning you and guilting you? And how do you handle when you make mistakes?
I have a crazy way. It's called phone a friend. But as he said, you're going to get tripped up. And I used a simple saying. Someone cuts you off. What's your first response? We know we all have the same. You can sit here and say, oh, I love that guy. No, you get mad. You get angry, especially when you're going to work, right? Call someone and have great mentors. If I get tripped up, I call Pastor Ron immediately. And you know what he tells me? First thing every time. That's okay. That's good, Jared. That's good. I'm like, it's good? Yeah, yeah. We have emotion. Relax. Relax. You're going to make it. You're going to be fine. Today's going to be a great day. What? How is this man so calm? Spend a day with that guy. You want to be closest? Man, him, Pastor Jim, Pastor Ron, you want to talk about close to Christ? Wow. Wow. Everything. We're walking like this, right? There's a stone in the road. God bless it. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, these guys are the real deal. And yeah, you gotta have great people. He has an amazing wife who I love. Miss Vicky, are you out there? I love you so much. She's amazing. I love hearing her speak. But you have to have that wife. My wife's in leadership. She stepped up big time. You know, I first time hearing this woman pray out loud was what, a year and a half ago? About a year and a half ago? Wow. Wow. Talk about, I mean, it. Wow. Amazing. So have that person. Yeah, anytime you're tripping, have that person and pick yourself back up. Keep going. Dust yourself off. You didn't fall. You didn't hit the ground. Same with the addiction. You didn't hit the ground yet. Keep going.
Right. Last question. It's Mother's Day. We got some moms here who have wayward kids. They've got kids are praying for. There's nothing, Jared. I had to break the news. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I had to break the news to my own mother that my brother took his life.
Oh, man.
And I do it on telephone because she was in Bakersfield and I was here. Hardest thing I've ever had to do. The wail that I heard in the other line, I'll never forget it. What would you say to any moms here who have wayward kids to give them hope?
That's a tough one. So, as I said earlier, you know, be there for them, sit them down and talk to them, you guys. Let's really reach out and I have a ton of videos, right? I put these videos up and I do it for the kids. But I want to tell you, mothers, I do it also for my kids, right? So they see it and they know, okay, dad's always there for everyone. Of course he's going to be here for me. Keep encouraging them to come to church. This is amazing. Wow, this campus, the people. I saw you guys worshiping. You guys are into it and I love that. Encourage them to come to church. Be there for them. Listen to them. And again, happy Mother's Day. You guys are awesome, by the way. So, but yeah, keep encouraging. Keep, I can't stress it enough. Tell them to consume that holy medication. Ingest Jesus, right? Tell them, bring them to church. Just stay connected to them. I see so many times this day and age, what happens is you get parents who are so consumed with being rich. Rich to me is having a great family and good fellowship for Christ. That's rich, right? So don't worry so much about your jobs and giving them the iPad or the iPhone or the computer or whatever. Be there for them. Be around them and listen and pay attention. That's what I would tell you.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to close this, and I'm going to give Jared the opportunity. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to do an altar call before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have you give a chance to present Christ to anybody here who doesn't know the Lord, or maybe anybody, Jared, that was like maybe me for a period of time. I received the Lord, and then I had a hard time putting down my weed and running around and stuff, and it took a couple of years for God to work in me. That happens. There's a lot of people like that. They have a hard time. Yeah, I think we've all gone through that. There's probably more people like that than people who've never been saved here. But I'm going to give you a chance to cause him to embrace the lifestyle that you're living. Sold out radical lifestyle. That's what we preach here at Valley. It's sold out radical, and we want to give you an opportunity for some of you to receive that today. So go ahead and bow your heads, and Jared, why don't you invite people?
All right, bow your heads. Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, please enter into this sanctuary. I ask that you put it upon their hearts if they're going through anything or they just want to rededicate, they want prayer, have them come up. I'll stay here and pray with each and every one of you guys. Jesus loves us, you guys. He gives us, if you go to him, he gives you navigation to get to where you need to be, right? He gets you to that destination, that direction. And I love it, you guys. This is my first altar call, Father, and I love that I'm getting this chance. I want everyone to come forward. I want everyone to come receive prayer. Even if you're doing great in your life, just come up here and chat. Let's pray for each other. Let's be there for each other. Let's unite. Vegas strong. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I love you so much. And I love each and every one of these guys as I know you do, Father. Just go mesh with their souls. Mesh with their heart. As your Holy Spirit is inside each and every one of them. Thank you, Father.
If you're here today, this isn't our typical altar call style, but I feel the Lord directing it today. If you're here today and you need to get saved, you're not right with God. You're not right. You know you're not right. You're not living how you know you ought to be living. I'm going to ask you to do something very, very bold. I've did it myself. Jared's probably done it before. I've done it. I'm going to ask you to do something I've never done. I'm going to ask you to walk up front here. Humble yourself. Walk up front here. And say, I want God. I need to give my life to God. I'm not right with God. Pray over me. So I want you to do that right now. You that aren't right with God, come on up. Just walk on up. We love you. You don't have to be embarrassed, but come on up. You're not right. Walk on up. Come on up. Come right up here. Yeah, come on up. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if your first decision for Christ was 20 years ago. We all get off track. We stumble, the Bible says, in many ways. We trip. We just need to come, and sometimes we need to formalize it. Come on up. If your heart's beating fast, your palms are sweaty, come on. I want everybody to come stand right up here, if you would. Just come stand up here. Just come stand right up here. Okay, prayer people, I want you to just kind of get around. Just put a hand on them, okay? Come on up. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming up. Don't miss out on this. Don't go home. Don't go home and kick yourself for not responding. Heart's beating fast, palms are sweaty, your stomach's in knots. That's a Holy Spirit letting you know he's there. He loves you. He wants you to come on up. Today's the day. Okay, I want to lead everybody here in a prayer with the Lord, okay? What you're doing today is you're saying, I am getting out of the control seat, the pilot seat of my life, and I'm inviting Jesus Christ to be the pilot. I'm going to step out. You direct my life. You direct my life. I give my life to you today. I turn the controls of my life over to you. And as you read the Bible, as you come to church, you'll learn how he wants you to live. But you're just basically, you're surrendering the captain's chair today. You're letting God be God, okay? So everybody here, I want you to pray with these folks. Let's all pray this simple prayer together. Just say, Father God, I give you my life today. I turn the controls of my life over to you. Forgive me for my sin. And I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Come inside of me, Holy Spirit. Make me brand new. New power. And I give my life to you today. Amen and amen. All right. God bless all of you. God bless you. Okay. Jared's going to be up front here afterwards. You want to come say hi to him? Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. We want to bless him and Natalie. We want to send them home from Bakersfield with a little something. He didn't ask for nothing, but we want to bless them. We're going to have some ushers at the door if you want to. We're going to take a little love offering. If you want to drop something in, the ushers will be at the main doors back there. Just stop by and drop some in there. We'd appreciate that. But anyway, would you just let Jared know we're appreciative of him coming over today?
Man, it means a lot. Thank you. God bless you guys. Have safe travels.
All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.